Picture this. It's a Saturday morning in July. You've got the airplane fueled, your passenger is excited, and the sky is clear blue from horizon to horizon. No clouds, no significant wind, no obvious reason not to go, you line up on the runway, push the throttle in, and something feels off. The airplane rolls longer than usual. The end of the runway is getting close, you rotate, and instead of climbing, you're barely climbing. Maybe not at all. I'm Pattern and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. And the scenario I just described, it kills pilots every summer. Not dramatic weather. Not mechanical failure. Just hot, thin air, and a performance chart nobody bothered to check. Before we dig in, a word from our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the aviation journey. First solo private pilot instrument commercial. There's a coin for every milestone worth remembering. If you're looking for a way to mark the moments that actually mean something in your training, check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about density altitude. Here's something I wish someone had explained to me clearly when I was training, because the textbook definition is a little clinical. Density altitude is pressure altitude corrected for non-standard temperature. That's the book answer. What it actually means is this. How thick or thin is the air your airplane is trying to fly through right now, and your airplane does not care what the altimeter says. It cares about air molecule. Engine power comes from combustion, burning fuel mixed with air. The propeller generates thrust by grabbing air molecules and pushing them backward. The wings generate lift by moving air over their surface. All of that depends on the density of the air, and when the air gets thin, either because you're at a higher elevation or because it's hot, or both, performance drops, sometimes dramatically, and your instruments will not warn you. The engine still sounds normal on the run-up. The tachometer reads full power. The airspeed indicator reads liftoff speed. Everything looks fine, and you still might not be able to climb away from the terrain. Standard atmosphere is defined as 15 degrees Celsius and 29.92 inches of mercury at sea level. That is the baseline. Anytime the temperature climbs above that standard for a given altitude, your airplane is effectively operating at a higher altitude than what your altimeter reads. On a hot summer afternoon at a sea level airport, you might have a density altitude of 2,500 or 3,000 feet. At a high-elevation airport in the southwest, say a field sitting at 5,000 feet with a temperature of 35 degrees Celsius, your density altitude might be 8,000 feet or higher. Your engine doesn't know you're only 5,000 feet above sea level, it thinks you're at 8,000, and it performs accordingly. Here's a rule of thumb worth memorizing. For every degree Celsius above standard temperature, density altitude increases by approximately 120 feet. Standard temperature at sea level is 15 degrees Celsius. If it's 30 degrees today at a sea level airport, that's 15 degrees above standard. You're looking at roughly 1,800 feet of density altitude before you ever account for pressure altitude. Add a low altimeter setting and you can push past 2,500 feet of density altitude at a field that sits right at sea level. That's not trivial. That's meaningful performance degradation. Now here's where I want to get specific, because this is where training sometimes stays at the abstract level when it should get concrete. Your aircraft's performance charts were published for specific density altitude conditions. The takeoff distance over a 50-foot obstacle, the rate of climb, the service ceiling, all of that was measured in controlled conditions. When density altitude climbs, those numbers don't just get slightly worse. They deteriorate significantly, and the relationship is not linear. It gets worse faster than you expect. Let's walk through this together. Say your airplane's published takeoff ground roll is 800 feet at sea level, standard temperature, full fuel, at the weight you're flying today. At a density altitude of 3,000 feet, that same number might climb to 11 or 1,200 feet. At 5,000 feet density altitude, you could be looking at 1,400 feet or more. That's nearly double the runway you needed on a cool morning. And if your home airport has a short runway, or trees at the departure end, or terrain under the climb out, that difference is the accident. Rate of climb takes an even harder hit. A typical training airplane might climb at 600 to 700 feet per minute at sea level on a cool morning. At high density altitude, that same airplane might give you 200 feet per minute, or less. I've heard accounts from pilots flying mountain airports in summer with older underpowered aircraft and two occupants on board who reported essentially no measurable climb at all, just barely staying above the ground while the terrain started rising ahead of them. That is a terrifying position to be in, and it is entirely preventable. The problem is that the sky doesn't look different when density altitude is high. The airplane looks the same. The runway looks the same. The temperature feels warm, but you've been outside in July before, and the airplane still flew fine. Right? There is nothing you can see that shouts a warning. The warning lives in the performance charts and you have to go looking for it on purpose. So let me give you a practical process for checking density altitude before every flight. Your pre-flight weather briefing includes the current altimeter setting and the surface temperature. Take those numbers and go to your aircraft's pilot's operating handbook, the POH, and find the density altitude chart in the performance section. If your aircraft has a glass panel, many of them display density altitude directly on the engine monitoring page or as a calculated field. You can also use an electronic flight bag, ForeFlight, Garmin Pilot, FlyQ. They all have density altitude calculators built in. You can do it on an E6B flight computer in about 30 seconds. There is no excuse for not knowing this number before you taxi out. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, requires you to understand density altitude and its effect on aircraft performance for the private pilot check ride. The examiner is looking for more than just the definition. They want to know that you can look at actual conditions and determine actual performance implications. Not just hot air is less dense, but at this temperature and this field elevation, here is what my takeoff roll will be, here is what my initial rate of climb will be, and here is whether that is acceptable for this runway with these obstacles. That is the kind of thinking that makes you a safe pilot, and that is exactly what your examiner is probing for when they ask about this. Now, let me give you five practical habits that go beyond the mechanics of the calculation. First, run the numbers before every single flight. Not just when it seems hot, run them in spring when temperatures are climbing and you haven't shifted into summer performance mindset yet. Run them in fall when you've gotten comfortable with cool weather margins and then an 85-degree day appears out of nowhere. Make the habit consistent so it doesn't feel like an alarm bell, just part of the pre-flight flow. Second, know your airplane's actual limiting conditions. Some POHs include explicit performance limitations, language that says do not attempt takeoff above a certain density altitude at gross weight. Many won't be that specific. If you run the numbers and your calculated takeoff distance uses all of your available runway with no margin left over, that is not a go condition. That is a conversation with yourself about whether to wait, reduce weight, or cancel. Third, the early morning advantage. Air temperature is lowest just around or after sunrise. If you're planning a summer flight from a high elevation airport or any flight with a short runway and obstacles on departure, plan to leave early. The same airplane, same runway, same pilot, but conditions at 7 in the morning can be dramatically better than conditions at 2 in the afternoon. Pilots who fly mountain airports routinely schedule departures before 9 in the morning for exactly this reason. Some of them won't depart after noon in July at all. That discipline is earned, not arbitrary. Fourth, watch for combinations. High elevation plus high temperature is the worst case pairing. But also look at high density altitude combined with a heavy aircraft. High density altitude combined with a long ground roll on a soft or grass surface. High density altitude combined with terrain under the departure path. Each of those factors compounds the others. When two or three of them are present at once, the margin disappears faster than you'd think. Fifth, and I want you to really hear this one, there is no shame in staying on the ground. If you run the numbers and they don't work, or they work only barely, the airplane will be there tomorrow morning when the temperature drops. Your passenger will understand. The trip can be rescheduled. There is exactly one thing that cannot be undone, and that is departing into a performance situation you cannot fly out of. I also want to mention something that sometimes gets overlooked in this conversation, which is density altitude's effect once you're airborne and trying to climb. If you departed at a density altitude of 4,000 feet and you're trying to climb to 8,000 feet pressure altitude, the actual density altitude at your cruise altitude is substantially higher than 8,000 feet. Your rate of climb is already degraded from the moment of liftoff. And as you climb, it degrades further. If the terrain around you is rising, if you're flying toward a ridgeline, if you're threading a mountain pass, your climb rate may not be keeping pace with the terrain. The terrain doesn't care about your airspeed indicator. It doesn't slow down. And options when you're halfway through a mountain climb with 100 feet per minute of climb rate and a ridge still above you are essentially none. This is why density altitude is not just a performance chapter in the handbook. It is one of the core reasons mountain flying has its own endorsement. It is a factor in a meaningful number of fatal accidents every year at airports that look completely benign on a beautiful summer afternoon. Here's what I want you to do after this episode. Go find the density altitude chart in your POH. Run a scenario with today's temperature and today's altimeter setting. Work the math. Get comfortable with the process so it's not unfamiliar when you're standing on the ramp with a passenger waiting and someone asking when you're going to launch. Then find the takeoff performance chart. Run the same density altitude through it and see what it says about ground roll and distance over a 50-foot obstacle. Compare that to the runway at your home airport. Sit with that number for a moment, do that once, and you will never look at a hot July afternoon the same way again. The numbers behind this come from the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the performance data in the Cessna 172 POH solid references for this topic. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, fly disciplined. See you next time.